You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
The reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 23. And they were bringing children to him that he might bless them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God."
Isn't it a great thing when a new child is born? Many of you will have memories of the birth of a child. As I look around, have any of your kids had the excitement of a younger brother or sister coming into your family? Can anyone remember someone, a new baby arriving in your family? A cousin? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? When a tiny little new baby arrives, I can still remember. I'm an old man now. I can still remember when my first child was born. My son was born. In fact, that son, my first son, who was born almost 31 years ago, it's his birthday coming up this week, was actually visiting me last night. So it was really nice to be just remembering with him what happened when he was born. I was just amazed. You know, this tiny little baby. You all seen a tiny little baby? I was just blown away. Now, I will confess that up until that time, I thought all babies looked the same. And I have tended to drift back into feeling like that now, I must confess. But at that time, you know, look, this was absolutely so special and so beautiful and so unique and just the gift of new life, and I was just blown away. I was supposed to be a full-time student at that time, studying in a theological college, but I was just blown away. And after about 2 weeks, one of the professors came to me and said, "Look, Andrew, you know, it's all very well you got this new kid and stuff, but you probably better get back to work, you know." I think, as far as I was concerned, I was still studying, but everyone else thought I was just being blown away by this new life. It really is an amazing thing when a new child is born. And many of us have a sense that a new child is, in a very real way, a gift from God. You know, how can it be that another human being has come into the world? A new child is a gift from God, and many of us realise that and have some sense of it. A friend of mine was talking to me just in the last week or so. He's got two kids. His daughter, Anna, I think, is about four. But she was listening to some stories about God's grace, God's gift to us, and how a person can be a gift from God. And she also learnt that the name Grace means gift or gift from God. And her response to that, she said to her parents, "I want to be called Grace because I want to be a gift from God." You know, well, she is a gift from God even though her name's Anna, you know, it's all right. But she thought she needed to have the name Grace so she could be a gift from God as well. There is this sense, isn't there, that a child somehow is sacred and special. Well, the story that we've had read from the Bible this morning, maybe we could have the first part of the story again up on the text there, Danny, is a story where some parents maybe had some sense of this. But at any rate, they had a sense that the best thing they could do for their children was to bring their children to Jesus. Have your children heard about Jesus? Yeah, you've got to say yes when you're in church, haven't you? Yep. These parents had the sense that the best thing they could do with their children was bring their children to Jesus. That's what they thought. They'd heard about Jesus. Jesus had great power and he had great love. He went around doing good things to help people. He healed people who were sick and he also drove out evil spirits or demons out of people who had trouble with them. And these parents had their children, and I guess they had dreams for the future of what might happen to the children, and they perhaps had a sense of how great a responsibility it was to be caring for children. And so they brought these children to Jesus. That would be so wonderful. Can you kids imagine what it would be like to actually go and meet Jesus? That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? It would be so amazing. I think it would be. I think it'd be really amazing to actually meet Jesus. Anyway, some people do understand that the best thing they can do for their kids is to bring them to Jesus. And maybe many of you here in church this morning are in that position. We actually can ask God to be blessing and working in the lives of our children. And that's really the greatest thing. Actually, my parents sent me to Sunday school when I was a kid, and I'm eternally grateful for that. I heard about Jesus when I was a child, and I still remember learning the Lord's Prayer. I must have only been 5 or something, maybe even 4, I'm not sure, but learning to pray. It was an enormous blessing. Some people then realise that the best thing we can do is to bring our kids to God. The second thing we can learn from the story that we've had was that Jesus welcomed people. Jesus welcomed people. It says there, the disciples rebuked them. Sadly, there are some people around who want to keep others away from Jesus. Sadly, that's the case. There's been a bit of trouble at the school next door over the last 6 months when there's been some controversy about whether we should be having the opportunity of teaching Jesus there. And that's debated in the public sphere. It's also true, sadly, that some people in churches try to keep other people away. There are some people who think that a church is just for the good religious type people, and if you're not like that, then just stay away because we don't want you. Sadly, there are some churches like that. I don't know if any of you have had an experience like that. One time a few years ago, I went to a church I'd never been to before. No one spoke to me. How sad that was. I felt like I was an outsider and that I didn't belong there. Sadly, some religious people act like that, as if it's only the ones already in are allowed to be in. Was Jesus like that? The disciples were like that. They told these people, "Go away." And what did Jesus say? Jesus was indignant and he said to them, "Let the children come." And he would have said it to anyone. If the disciples were telling the old people to go away, Jesus would have said, "Let the old people come." Whatever category, if anyone said stay away, Jesus said come. And that's the attitude that Jesus has today. Jesus welcomes everyone who will come to him. No exceptions. You know, in our minds, we tend to put people into categories. We tend to think of some categories as good and some as not so good. Maybe on the basis of what colour football scarf they're wearing or whatever. We make categories. But Jesus wouldn't have none of that. Everyone come as far as Jesus is concerned. And what's more, Jesus wanted to teach us a little point about that. He said, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And he suggested that we need to come to Jesus to welcome the kingdom of God like a child does. Well, children, if they want something, children, if you want something, if a child really wants something, do they spend half an hour thinking about it? Do they sort of draw up a balance sheet of the pros and cons? And oh, no, they don't do that. If a child wants something, yes, I want it. And a child takes it on trust as well. If there's something good, if something that looks like a nice thing to eat, they'll eat it. They don't analyse it and everything else first. Well, Jesus, I think, is wanting us to have a similar sort of attitude. We've got to have, yes, I want it. Yes, I'm not going to spend my life forever analysing, but I'm going to accept what God is offering to me. So the first thing is that some people understand that it's good to bring themselves and their children to Jesus. Secondly, Jesus welcomes people despite what other people are like. Thirdly, and sadly, Jesus has to warn us that not everyone will get the kingdom of God. Not everyone is going to get in. Not everyone is going to come to Jesus. What does Jesus say? Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now, straight after this story, let's flip to the next screen, Danny. Jesus, straight after that, Jesus told another story, or at least there was another story that involved Jesus, because this other man came along. Now, he's a wealthy man. He was a rich young man, and he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what have I got to do to get eternal life? So this man was interested in God. He was interested in eternal life. And Jesus spoke to him. And over onto the next screen, Danny. It says there, however, that when Jesus said, because Jesus looked at that man and could see that in that man's life, that man loved his money more than anything else. That man lived for his wealth. And so Jesus said to that man, sell everything you've got, give the money to the poor, get rid of all that stuff, and then come and follow me. For that man, Jesus was challenging him to be single-minded about coming to God. What was that man's response? Halfway down there, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. That man was not willing to leave behind his wealth in order to come to God. That man, yes, something good was being held out in front of him, but he thought, no, that is a good thing, but I won't take that because I want my wealth more. Are children like that? Well, if a child knows what they want, they'll leave the other stuff behind. They'll just go and get the new thing. This is what I want. This is what I need. Jesus wants us to understand that all sorts of distractions in this world, whether they're wealth or fame or something else that we might think is more important, we've got to put that behind us and say, no, I want Jesus most of all. Jesus says, come. And the message for each one of us, for every one of us, whether it's a child, whether it's an adult, whether it's an old person, come to Jesus. Now, what exactly does it mean to come to Jesus? I've been recently rereading a book called Basic Christianity. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? I've been rereading this for a couple of reasons. It was written by a guy called John Stott. He was a famous English Christian. He wrote this book about 50 years ago, actually a bit over 50 years ago. And one reason I'm rereading the book is because John Stott died a few weeks ago. Sort of made me a bit sentimental about his writings. Another reason I've been rereading it is because it's the first Christian book I ever bought when I became a Christian, and it's got some good stuff in it, some basic stuff in it Coming to Jesus is pretty simple, actually. Coming to Jesus is pretty simple. In this book, John Stott suggests what we can do if we want to come to Jesus. He says it's pretty simple. We pray a prayer. We say to God, okay, God, I'm coming to you. Okay, God, I'm coming to Jesus. John Stott put it like this. Lord Jesus, I know that you are Lord. I know that you are the Lord of the whole world. But I've done wrong in things that I've done and things I haven't done. And I'm sorry for that, and I turn from them in repentance. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me, bearing my sins on the cross. And I thank you for your great love. John Stott writes, now I open the door. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in as my Saviour to cleanse me. Come in as my Lord and Master to take control of me. And I will serve you in fellowship with other Christians as you give me strength all my life. It's really saying, okay, Jesus, take control of my life. That's what it means. Lord Jesus, take control of my life. Last Friday night, I had a new experience. I went to somewhere I'd never been before. I experienced something that was very new to me. I don't know if there's anyone here in church this morning who's feeling like that. Maybe some of you, if it's your first time in church this morning, you might be thinking, what do I let myself in for? Last Friday night, I went to an AFL match at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, the G. Is that what it's called? I went there. I've survived. I'm still alive to tell the tale. It was a new experience for me, you know. I'd never done it before. But I survived. It was okay. And maybe some of you are feeling a bit like that about church. You know, you're here this morning. There's all these Christians around the place. How scary is it? For me, when I went to the AFL match on Friday night, it was a bit scary. I'd never been there before, and there was a lot of people there, 73,000 apparently, and they were doing all this stuff that I didn't really understand, but it was okay. And after a while I thought, I wonder if I might become an AFL supporter. Maybe. I'm still thinking about that question, actually. And maybe some of you are still thinking about the question of whether you want to be a Jesus person or not. Maybe some of you are still thinking through that. If you are, I want to say to you, it's even more important than AFL. Actually, it is. If you're not sure about that, come and have an argument with me afterwards. But I think it's a similar sort of thing, you see, because there's culture attached to it, isn't there? If you decide to become a Christian, become a Jesus person, there's sort of some other stuff that goes with it, maybe. And you'd have to get used to the idea of maybe hanging out with other Christians sometimes. Just like if I decide to be an AFL supporter, I'd have to think, okay, I'm going to wear the scarf a lot, not just for the first time in my life. I'd have to go to things like that quite a lot. And maybe I'd have to learn the names of some of the players and stuff, you know. Well, maybe there's things like that that go with it. But coming to Jesus is even more important than all of that, more important than AFL. Jesus says, come. Some people know that that's the most important thing to do. Even though some people try and push them away, Jesus says, come. So I say to you, everyone here today, little kids, I say to you, come to Jesus, okay? And all the grown-ups, I say, come to Jesus. I'm going to say a prayer now. And after the short prayer that I pray, we're going to pray together a prayer that Jesus taught his followers. It'll come up on the screen. Let's bow our heads now. I'll say a prayer and then we're going to say together this prayer as well. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus welcomed everyone. Thank you so much that Jesus says to every one of us, come. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you that even though Jesus knows the truth about us, that sometimes we've done things wrong or turned our backs on you, God, Jesus still says, come. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us here will have the peace of mind and the courage and the understanding of what's good and right, so that we also want to say, okay, Jesus, I come to you. Amen. Let's pray together what Jesus taught his disciples. And after this, we're going to sing again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.